Atamariye, good morning. Today I want to start with a story. It's a story of a friend of mine who, when she was 8 years old, went tramping with her dad. And she tells of the mud and the puddles and the track and the native bush all around her and going on this trip with her dad. But as the day went on, they lost the trail. They became lost. And they couldn't re-find it. And time was going on, and they didn't have shelter because they had only been planning a day trip. So they made some kind of makeshift shelter. Some of you will know that lost person behavior. Once people get lost, sometimes they keep walking and getting further and further from where they were meant to be, and further lost. But they stopped, they built a shelter, and I think her dad had a box of matches and the ability to boil some water and give them a hot drink before they sheltered for the night. And if you've ever been in the bush at night, any tiny little noise of the little critters, the little nighttime critters moving or moving in the leaf litter or a bird settling down, sound very loud. How scared do you think an 8-year-old would be in that environment? Lost in the bush out overnight without proper shelter. Who would go for very scared? Right, well, my friend said when she told this story, she said she was not scared because her father was with her. Let's just notice that. She was not scared because her father was with her. And if there's one thing that stays with you from this morning, maybe it could be this story of an 8-year-old lost in the bush, but she was not scared because her father was with her. Just to reassure you, they were all right and they were found the next day. So as we look at this passage in which Jesus tells us not to worry, we're just going to recap some definitions that we've covered before. The first one is stress. Stress is when we evaluate our environmental demand as being beyond our ability to cope successfully. Stress is about perception. It might be correct, it might be incorrect, but it's when we evaluate demand as being beyond our ability to cope. Overwhelm. Overwhelm is an extreme level of stress to the point where a person feels unable to function. Sometimes even unable to speak or respond to a question. When someone isn't overwhelmed, we noted the solution can even be 10 minutes of not doing time. 10 minutes as a complete break from everything can be enough to reset someone and bring them out of overwhelm. Next one, fear. Fear is a negative, short-lasting, high-alert emotion in response to a perceived threat. Fear is present tense and it's actually short-lived. It's in the moment. Anxiety, by contrast, is a future-oriented emotion. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increase in blood pressure. Anxiety is when is related to the future. And there are two main ways that people deal with anxiety. The first of these is worry. Worry is a chain of negative thoughts about bad things that might happen in the future. And let's notice this. We noticed it last time. Worry is not actually a feeling. Worry is a pattern of thinking. So when we get stuck in thinking those negative thoughts about bad things that might happen. When we worry, research tells us we think we're helping. We're thinking that we're problem solving, that we're making it better, but actually the research is worry does not help. It only means that we reinforce those negative thoughts, but worry doesn't actually help. The other way people deal with anxiety is avoidance. It's not showing up, whether emotionally or physically, not being present. And often spending a lot of time and energy zigzagging around and away from the thing that feels like it's consuming us. Avoidance can become a bigger problem than the fear itself, or a bigger problem than anxiety, especially for people around us. So, with those definitions in the back of our mind, let's look at our story in Matthew, our passage, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. The context in this part of the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus has been talking about some distractions. The first distraction he mentioned was money, and he called us to store up treasures in heaven and the kingdom of God, and the need for discernment, for the light of Jesus' teaching to shine on every part of our lives, because we can only serve one master. Which raises the question, if we're storing up treasures in heaven and investing money, our resources, our material resources, into the kingdom of heaven, into God's purposes, what happens to us here and now? How are we being taken care of? And so Jesus immediately goes on to the second distraction, which is worry. Sometimes we can worry. So in the passage, Jesus starts by saying, do not worry about your life. That's the whole of your life, everything. But he focuses on three examples, food, drink, and clothing. And when Jesus says, do not worry, maybe we think that's easier said than done. But let's notice what else he says. The first scenario Jesus talks about is the birds of the air. He says, notice them, look at them. They're not worrying. They're not stressing. They're not in anxiety or overwhelm. They're going about their lives without worry. And God takes care of these creatures. And Jesus gives a reason here why we shouldn't worry. He said, God takes care of these creatures, and you are more valuable. I've recently started pottery classes. And after a first attempt on the wheel where the clay got a bit soggy, my first pot that I finished on the wheel, I just wanted to be so careful with it. When you take it off, you have to remove it from the wheel and then move it very gently so you don't squeeze it and move it out of shape. And then the tutor brought over a board for me to put it on. And I was thinking, oh, be careful. Don't drop it. Don't let it slide off. And the tutor put it over by the sink. And I think, oh dear, what if other people knock it when they come to clean up? And then someone else in the class picked up a box of other projects and she was moving around. And I thought, oh, be careful, don't bump into things. And I became so invested in this lump of clay. And why? The reason I became so invested is because I had created something. I was invested. I'd put time and thought and effort and creativity into making this. And if I, an imperfect person, can care this much about a lump of clay, how much more does your Heavenly Father, your Creator, care about you? You are more valuable. Jesus gives a second reason why we shouldn't worry, and that is that worry doesn't help. We can't add anything. We can't add anything to our height, is the literal translation. We can't add anything to the duration of our days. Worry doesn't help. As we've already said, contemporary research confirms this. Worry only reinforces that pattern of negative thought. Jesus then gives us a second scenario. Consider the lilies. And we've got some beautiful lilies here today. Thank you to those who brought flowers in. And Jesus again gives two reasons why we shouldn't worry. The first is the plants don't worry. And God provides gloriously for them. Look at them. Aren't they beautiful? God provides gloriously for these. And you are more valuable. Jesus gives a second reason here why we shouldn't worry, and that is that worry is counter to faith. Last week we talked about those two overlapping domains, heaven, the dwelling place of God, and earth, the dwelling place of humanity, and that God originally created them to coincide, and we see that picture in the Garden of Eden. Then sin and rebellion push them apart because God can't coexist with evil. And Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection, brought that increase of overlap that the kingdom is coming. It's not fully here yet, but we have this space, increasing overlap, where Jesus is bringing the coming kingdom. Worry is counter to faith. It opposes faith, it undermines it. Seeking God's kingdom invests in that overlap, but worry invests in that part where there isn't an overlap, where we're trying to manage things ourselves without God. Faith invests in the overlap and worry does not. We've heard this morning about worship that we're called to lift our eyes, because we can either look up in faith or look down at our problems, but we can't do both. A quote that I find quite articulate on this is that troubles, like babies, grow larger by nursing. That is, troubles, like babies, grow larger by nursing. When we worry, we invest time and energy and attention and thought into the problem. But God is bigger than the problem. Last week, we looked at money. Jesus' teaching about money. This week, we're looking at worry, our thoughts, our attention. And in both cases, we are to invest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus gives us reasons. Worry doesn't help. Worry is the enemy of faith. It undermines faith. And your Father cares about you. You are more valuable. We don't see the full picture in this age, and we don't always see whether our Father is at work for our good. Sometimes there is a delay between our request and seeing it eventualized. And the delay is hard. But your Father knows what you need. Your Father cares, and you are more valuable. Jesus gives us a path here. In this section of teaching, we've had the Lord's Prayer, and we're to present our requests to the Lord, to ask for our daily bread, our daily needs. Then we have this teaching where we are to invest our money and our resources and our thoughts and our efforts into the kingdom of God and serving the kingdom of God. And then we're not to worry, because your Father cares for you and you are more valuable. This also applies collectively. And that can be a bit harder, because faith is contagious. When we're around someone with strong faith, that can lift our eyes. And fear is contagious. When we're around other people who are worried or anxious or fearful, that can spread as well. At the AGM, I encouraged you to pray and to seek and ask the Lord, what vision is He giving you for the future of this church? What do you long to see happen here in this church, in this community, in this area, in our local neighbourhood? What vision is God giving you? What is the Lord saying to you? We're not listening here to our fears. Remember, fear is the enemy of faith. It's not investing in the kingdom of God. But what is God speaking to you about? Because I believe the Lord wants to do something in this church and in this community and in this area. And there's evidence that God is at work and some things are changing and growing. And I know change can be difficult. Another useful quote this morning: people don't fear change, they fear loss. And this can be helpful when we're dealing with change, to notice, what is it that I'm worried about or feel anxious about? What do I fear in this change? What do I think I might lose or lose out on? Jesus has told us not to worry. God's perfect love casts out fear. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, to work for God's purposes and his righteousness, to strive and earnestly seek for this, and trust that our Heavenly Father knows what we need and will provide, because you are valuable. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things, the things that you would worry about, will be added to you. As we come towards the end, I want to tell you another story. Some of you know that I had long COVID, and I had to choose very deliberately not to worry because it made my symptoms worse immediately. 1 Peter 5:7 was quite a theme for me. Cast your anxiety on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. And let's notice, Peter was written to a group of Christians who are suffering significant persecution. They knew reason for anxiety and worry. So during long COVID, I was praying about a group of people. I felt that the Lord had placed a particular group of people in my heart. And although I was very limited, I had a desire to serve this particular group of people in some way. And then there was a request in the church newsletter from a couple who was involved with this group. And they were asking for something to support the group, and it was something that I was able to give. So I got in contact with the couple and made this offer. And when they came to pick up the thing, the woman asked me how I was. And she started asking quite specific questions. Do you get this? Do you get this? Have you experienced this? Most of my symptoms were neurological symptoms. And it turns out that in her medically related field, she is a specialist in neurological symptoms. And not only that, she is a specialist in the particular type of neurological symptoms that I was dealing with. And so she offered me free sessions with her, which would have been quite expensive. Free sessions whenever she had a cancellation. Because I was unable to work, I could come in when she had a cancellation. She would message me. And she would give me exercises to help with my neurological symptoms. And the way she was able to tailor those exercises precisely to my symptoms because of her breadth and depth of experience in this particular field, probably the only person I've ever met who has this kind of experience. Those exercises were a turning point in my recovery. They were a profound turning point in the change in my symptoms and the change in the direction of my symptoms. And I found this such a significant example of what we're talking about here, of seeking first God's kingdom and investing in God's heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth and in the age to come. And quite unexpectedly, precisely through that, the Lord provided profoundly for me in that very action and profoundly provided for my healing. We haven't got a song to close today, but I would like to finish by reading you the 23rd Psalm. So just take a moment to sit and be still before the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.